Go ahead and turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. And we're going to read a few verses tonight. A couple weeks ago, we dealt with the things that a father should be looking for in a man that's wanting to court his daughter. Last week, we looked at the woman. And this week, we're going to look at the husband and wife. And we're going to see what God has for us. The title of tonight's message is A Holy Bride. And we'll see this as we go from here tonight. But let's begin reading in verse number 25 down through verse number 33. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Let's have a word of prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, we're grateful tonight that we're able to gather around as a family, around your word, and in these next few moments we're able to feast upon it. God, I pray that you would help us to learn. We ask that you'd help us to grow from your word as well. God, not only do I pray that for the ones that are here, but I pray for the ones that are watching on YouTube, that it would be a blessing to them as well. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Last couple of weeks, I've had a great privilege, and I count it a privilege, to be considered to be a help to people in their lives. And God is, for some reason, has decided to use me in that area. I don't feel qualified. I don't feel like I'm the person, but God is using me. And I appreciate that. This coming Friday, I'm starting probably for the next, all the way up until about July, I will be counseling a young couple who is about to get married and was asked to do their ceremony. But before I was even asked to do their ceremony, they asked me if I would give them premarital counseling. And I've done that on a couple occasions. I did that with Gary's daughter. I've done it with a coworker of mine, with his daughter as well, and her spouse. God has opened those doors. And so I take with great seriousness to be able to steer people in the right direction on how to have a godly marriage. And on occasions, I will use folks that I know personally. I will use things that works in their marriages, and I will use things that don't work as well. So I learn from you folks. I watch your marriages, and I'm able to use those to be a help to people. So I want to say thank you for that. And you might ask, are you using me? I don't know who's asking that right now, but no. I'm not going to tell you who I'm using. That's none of your business. But anyway, it is a great privilege. Marriage is a wonderful thing. 26 years now, Chris and I have had the privilege to be together as a husband and a wife. She has helped me in ways that I can't even begin to imagine. She has basically taken over the role that my mom had in my life, being that godly influence, and she has now become that influence in my life, being that voice of reasoning that I listen to, and she helps me to be able to learn how to listen to people better. She helps me to help me find my words that I can't find because I misplace them on many different occasions. I appreciate those things about her because I can only take those things from her. If anybody else was to do something like that to me, I might take offense to it. And It's fun. And she's able to do those things because she is my wife. I will be honest with you. Our marriage from the first year was pretty rough, and she would testify that as well. I said that a couple weeks ago. We went from talking on the phone to seeing each other on the weekends. I basically lived in her grandmother's house on the weekends. I got to know her grandmother better than I got to know her, because I was able to stay up with her till 2-3 o'clock in the morning and have great conversations with her. We got married, and from that point on, we really didn't know each other the way that we should have known each other. And so for that first year of marriage, I didn't realize how selfish of a person that I was. And with that being said, it caused some problems in our marriage. Thankfully, God worked things out. We're able to see some things and move beyond. But I believe one of the factors that led to that was my lack of leadership on being the husband that I needed to be towards my wife. Because I'm going to show you in Scripture tonight, a man's job is to make his wife holy before the Lord. So a man has a great responsibility to be the leader in his house. So now that we have moved beyond courtship, as I mentioned earlier, we have now joined the man and wife in marriage, and we can all say love is a beautiful thing that God has allowed us to enjoy while we are here on earth. By the way, I don't go around and tell other women that I love them. There are some women in my life that are my siblings, my sisters. And by the way, I don't tell them I love you as often as I should. So I will say this right now. Christy, I love you, even though you laughed at me 5 minutes ago. Mom, I love my mom. I love my Aunt Patty, my nieces. I love them as well. I can say that to them. My own daughter, I say that to. But I do not go around and tell other women that I love them, because that would be very inappropriate. And that could lead to other things. So the word love is a sacred word. It's really only used for people that you should truly love. It's a word that you just don't throw around. I hear young people say this on occasions. Oh, I just love that kid. And that drives me crazy. No, you don't really know that kid. Why would you say you love him? Oh, I love that movie. Think about the word love when you put in a movie. Well, I really love that book. Love is a word that you just don't throw around, because it is a word that needs to be guarded. So when the man and the woman join in marriage, the man himself has one of the biggest responsibility of his life right in front of him. It's not about providing a home, because that's what most men think that is their biggest responsibility. Is that a necessity? Yes. Is that their duty? Yes. That's their duty. That's a necessity. But that's not the biggest responsibility that a man has for his wife. A job is a good thing as well. It goes so much deeper than those things that are on the surface. The first thing that we men are taught to do is found in verse number 25 that we started out with. It says, husbands, love your wives. So we are to love our wives. I'm not trying to be mean to men tonight, and I'm not trying to pick on men or downgrade them in any way, shape, or form. But I will say this, because I'm a man. I know what I have done and how I have failed in my life. But honestly, men, at times, we have no idea how to truly love the woman that God gave us. Today we celebrate a thing that is called Valentine's Day. We celebrate it every February the 14th, which, by the way, February the 14th is a very important day, because it's exactly a month from today will be my birthday. That'll help you remember those things. But unfortunately, even with this day that we have that men like to celebrate, unfortunately, men, will only tell their wives or show their wives their love and appreciation for them just on that day particularly. And that's not the case. Men should not just choose a day to set aside one time a year to show their love and appreciation for their wives. Love is continuing to show them how much you appreciate them on a daily basis. It's a daily thing. Well, I'm the king of the castle, and what I say, that she's going to do. That's not how it works. By the way, I have made this statement from the pulpit many times. If you want to feel like the king of your castle, then treat your wife like she's the queen. Treat her with the utmost respect and with the utmost love that she deserves in her life, because she deserves it, because she married you. She's seen all your faults. She's seen all the pride that you have, all your conceitedness that you had, and yet she still loves you and wants to spend her life with you. So men, we, on occasions, we really don't have an idea at times to truly show our love, our care, and our concerns to them. It goes like this. When we get in arguments, sometimes us men will say, "Hey, honey, I'm sorry." And we think that's it. Well, I know my wife, and I know when I say I'm sorry, she says, "What are you sorry for?" And then I got to do this. I got to scratch my brain. Okay, what kind of an answer is she looking here for? She knows why I'm saying I'm sorry. Do I have to really say it? Yeah, she wants you to know. By the way, that's an act of love towards her. That truly is. So with that being said, man, I want you to understand something tonight. If you don't understand this already, I want you to see this. Especially the younger guys that are in here that will eventually, someday, by the grace of God, will find a woman that God has given you, and you will marry them someday. So with that being said, I want you to understand something. Women are a gift from God. Chris Springer is a gift that God has given me. And because she is my gift that God has given me, because of my love that I have towards her, I am to cherish her and to treasure her every single day of her living life and my living life as well. And we should treat them as a gift from God. I will say this, no woman deserves to be mistreated or abused by their husband or by the one that they are courting at that time. By the way, if I know of any man personally that would want to mistreat their wives verbally, physically abusive, if I ever hear those things, I will do something about it. Guarantee you of that. And I know that there will be some men in here who say, "I echo what you are saying. I will be right behind you." By the way, it was years ago. I think Jalen was about the age of 3. We were driving where First Christian used to be. It's now the CVS pharmacy there. And I just happened to be driving by. And this particular time, I seen this guy get in the face of this woman. And I didn't know who they were or anything of that nature. They were probably drug addicts, to be honest with you. But I did not like what I saw. Because what I saw was a man that got in front of this woman, got right in her face, and if I remember correctly, he is getting back, ready to swing at her and hit her. I did something that day that I honestly don't regret, but I got out of my car and I chased that guy down. Why did I do that? Because no woman deserves to be mistreated. Now, what I didn't realize at the time was I left my wife and daughter in the car. Stupid me. Because anybody could have come along and done something to them. By the way, Chris has a pretty good right hook. And she knows how to destroy remote controls. Just kidding on that part. No, I'm not kidding. But no woman deserves to be mistreated or abused by their husband. By the way, it's just not physical abuse, it's verbal abuse. And I've learned that from my wife over the years. Us men, we treat our women badly by how we speak to them. They don't deserve those things. And so we need to treat them as a gift from God. Sad to say, but some men treat their dogs better than they treat their wife. And that is the God-honest truth on those things. I have yet to see a man kick a dog, but I have seen men kick their wives. And that's sad. This is the type of the world that we live in. So a gift is something that we treasure. It's also something that we take great pride in, and we take care of those things. From about the age of 4 to the age that I am now, I can honestly, I say this with all honesty, I can remember almost every single birthday gift and every present that I got during my lifetime. I remember those things. And I've kept many of those things throughout the years. I remember at the age of 14, I got a camouflage comforter for my bed. I just retired my camouflage comforter probably about 5 years ago. Not my desire to do so, but my wife thought it was time for me to give up my blankie. Time to grow up a little bit. But I remember that camouflage blanket because I got that for my mother. I told her, I think I told you what I wanted, and she got that for me. I got an orange tie-dye shirt. I don't remember the age, but I remember I got an orange tie-dye shirt with a black stripe all the way across it. I remember that gift that she gave me. I remember some pants along the way that she gave me. I remember pants that my grandmother would give me. I remember the gift that my sister Andrea, her first year off into college, that she got me. She got me a pair of blue Argyle socks and a pair of those stupid, Andrea, if you're listening, they're not stupid, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that, silly glasses that had the springs on them, they go in and out. I remember that very well. I remember those things. And there's other gifts that I remember. I remember those things because I knew the thought that went behind it. Somebody was thinking of me at that particular time. Right here in front of me, you might see the edge of it, but this right here in front of me is a gift from my sister Christy. Probably about 4 or 5 years ago, she asked me what I wanted for Christmas, and I said, I need a new Bible. My other Bible was starting to weather. It was starting to split in some areas, and I said, I need a new Bible, and she got me a new Bible. It's a gift that I will always treasure, and I will never, ever give away, because it means something to me. Gifts are something that we treasure. You get the picture that I'm getting at? A wife is a gift that was given to you by God, and we take great pride in it. So what is a gift? It's something that is given, and we receive by taking it. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The greatest thing that we are ever given in history is Christ Jesus. And this was God demonstrating his love towards us. See, love is constantly about giving to somebody that you love. That's what it's about. And that's something that God is doing for us every single day. Which, by the way, I don't condemn Valentine's Day. If that's the day that you choose to spoil a wife, then so be it. That's your conviction. But I think every day is a day that we should demonstrate our love towards the gift, our wife, that God has given us. Notice in this same verse, it shows us men and how we are to love. Remember, some men have no idea, so we are to love our wife with the same love that Christ has for the church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. The love that is mentioned here is a love that consists of giving up. I don't consider it a gift of sacrificing. I consider a list of giving up. Jesus gave up his home with his father for a brief moment in history. He gave up some things for us. What love was so great? The very life that Jesus gave up for the church. Do you realize he gave up his life so that you could have eternal life? That is love. That is great love. Today, some men are not in the business of giving up. Men are not geared that way. Instead of giving up, men are geared towards and are more involved in what they can take in. It's about what they can receive from others. That's what it's about. In other words, I'll put it to you this way. It's not about you, it's all about them. By the way, if you are in a relationship that way, I will be praying for you, because that's not how it should be. A husband and a wife just isn't about an individual, it's about two people that God brought together. And this is where marriages are having such problems today. It's about the individual instead of the two. It's two people brought together by God. And it needs to be that way. Christ's life, in any way, shape, or form, was not about himself. He constantly said, I am not here to do my will, but I'm here to do my Father's will. He was about giving himself to others. It always consisted of being about others. Men, love is always about giving and never about what's in it for you. It's giving every single day. Well, what can you give your wife? Let me just say it to you this way. How about start giving her your time? Give her your time. See, time's important to men. We try to schedule everything in a 24-hour period. And we say, well, I don't got time for this, and I don't got time for this. How about scheduling some time in for your wife? She needs that time with you. I have learned through later on in life when Jalen came around that our time was a little bit different, because now we had to share it with a spoiled, rotten brat that we love dearly. And by the way, she's my daughter. I can spoil her. That's okay. Because there's going to come a time when I'm not going to be able to spoil her the way that I want to. And I spoil her for this reason. She's going to have to take care of me one of these days. And so she's going to have to remember all the love and the sacrifice that we did on her behalf for her to be happy. I'm just kidding. But anyway, what was I saying? I trailed off on that one real bad. Let me get back to my notes. Love is always about giving and never about what's in it for you. Start giving your time to your spouse. If that is you, if it's all about you, let me just say this. If you're going to take offense to this, that's fine. But you're a very selfish person if it's about you and not about your spouse. And you need to come to grips, because Christ did so much for you. He gave you his time. Love is an act of serving, not being served. So often today I hear men say, man, when I get married, I'm going to have my wife, she's going to serve me breakfast in bed. She's going to serve me lunch. She's going to serve me dinner. She's going to do my laundry and all this. Let me ask a question. Where's the man at in this? Why isn't the man serving the wife? After all, didn't Jesus come to serve? If he's the example that we are to follow, is he not the one that we're to look to and how we're to serve? He was constantly serving others. And that's what he did while he was here on earth. He demonstrated his love towards man by serving him. The king of the world, served others. If we are to love the way Jesus did, does this not put us into a place of service towards the wife that God gave you? I think we got it backwards in some ways. We expect our wives to serve us. But in reality, if we're to go by Christ's example, we're to serve the wife. Give her our time. Give her our love. Do some things for her on occasions. Make her feel important. Most importantly, make her feel loved and wanted. I've heard some women on many different occasions, I feel like my husband doesn't love me anymore. I feel like my husband doesn't want me anymore. And that's a sad place for a woman to be in. The second responsibility we have as men is to sanctify the wife. Let me again read here. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. For this reason, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word. It is our job to keep the wife pure and to keep the wife clean. And in other words, we are her form of defense against an ugly world that wants to attack and to destroy the woman. Meaning it's the duty of the husband to put his wife on a path of holiness. Again, the greatest responsibility that you have as a man is not just providing her a house, not just providing her money for food to put on the table, but your greatest responsibility is to put your wife on a path of holiness. I was talking to a friend of mine a few weeks ago, and in the conversation, what he said to me floored me. I was flabbergasted with what came out of his mouth. And honestly, this is what transpired this message, because it began to cause me to do a lot of thinking. The words out of his mouth was this, and I never heard it quite like this before. He said, "Chad, my job as a husband is to make my wife holy before the Lord." And I was like, "Huh? That's my job?" But I thought my job was this, that, and the other thing. No, it's much deeper than that. My job is to make my wife holy before the Lord. I've given this much thought since then. What he was saying was, this is my job, is to lead. By the way, let me talk about the word lead for a little bit. Men, you need to be the leader of your home. Plain and simple. If you are not the leader of your home, where do you think the woman's going to go? She's going to go to another man to find leadership. And what I've known about women, they want to be led. And so I would encourage you to be the leader of your home. Don't put all the decision making upon your wife. By the way, make decisions with her. Include her in those things. That's part of being a good leader. Don't sit there and say, "Well, I'm going to spend $10,000 because that's what I want to do," and not consult your wife. By the way, if I spend $10,000 without consulting my wife, she'd say, "What bank did you rob? And why didn't you get more?" She would have said that. She would have turned me in. But anyway, it is our job to make them holy. So we are to lead. We're lacking leaders in our world today. We're seeing a change in America in leadership. Women are taking responsibility of being leaders rather than the men. I'm not against women taking leadership roles. But when men begin to put their head between their legs and to walk away from their responsibilities, there's something wrong in our world. So we need to lead. Secondly, we need to guide. Leading and guiding go hand in hand. But as we begin to lead, we need to guide, meaning we need to ensure along the way that they're going to stay on the right track. And by the way, to ensure that, you have to be on the right track as well. You have to have a great relationship with God. So we have to lead, and then we have to guide our wife to Jesus. The verse that stuck out in my head as this man began to tell this to me, as my jaw began to drop, was in verse number 27. "That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." That verse for the past couple weeks has been popping in and out of my mind. Because that statement alone, what he told me, has just been, it's been driving me crazy. Because I have begun to look back at the last 26 years of marriage and I begin to see my failures. I have failed in leading my wife. I have failed in areas of guiding my life. And I have failed on trying to make her holy before the Lord. See, that's my responsibility. And the reason why I say I have failed in those areas is because I have not always allowed myself to be led by the Lord. I have not always allowed myself to be guided by the Lord. And I have yet to present myself holy before the Lord. I failed in those areas. Notice with me in this verse, Jesus' goal for the church, as we've gone through this, in verse number 25, is to love. We need to love our wives. Let me put it to you this way. I know it says wives, but it's talking about husbands. But it's one wife. It's not multiple. Secondly, he gave himself. We need to give ourselves to our wife. Third, to sanctify or to make holy. All done for this reason. See, when I'm called in his presence, I'm going to be accountable for how I led my family. So for this reason, that he might present to himself a glorious church. And my greatest responsibility is to make my wife holy so that I can present her to Jesus and he'll find glory in her. The greatest job of a husband for his wife is this, to make herself holy so that he can present her to Christ without any spot or without any blemish so that she will be seen as glorious. What is not being done today by some men, and I'm talking about saved men, they are not taking the time to be the spiritual leader of the family. I'm going to say this as nice as I can say it. It's your job, it's your responsibility to present your wife holy before the Lord. It's not another man, and it's not another woman's responsibility. It's your responsibility as the husband. I have thought about how at times my life might end. We've all contemplated about those things. Man, I hope that when I'm on my deathbed, I got people around me and I'm able to say some things to them. We've all contemplated those things. Let's not deny those things. We've done those things. But I begin to think about this a little bit more this afternoon. This thought popped into my head. If I get the privilege on my deathbed to hear the last words from my wife, I'm going to be honest with you as I can be. I don't want to hear, "I love you," from my wife. I don't want to hear that. What I do want to hear, and I say this with all honesty, is these words, "Thank you for making me holy before the Lord." That's what I would love to hear. See, I have a tremendous responsibility to lead, to guide, and to make my wife holy before the Lord. I'm thankful for this man these last couple weeks who was able to share that with me. And through that, it's allowed me to do some thinking and to do some studying. And that's exactly what our job is as a husband. It's not to get a wife, to get her pregnant, to keep her at home, cooking dinners for us all the time. It's so much deeper than that. And it's about seeking a relationship together in Christ. That's what it's about. Making her holy before the Lord. And those are the words that I'd rather hear than "I love you" at that time. I know she loves me, without a doubt. I know that. But those would be some sweet words as I pass from this life into the next. "Thank you for making me holy." What a sweet way to go. But I can't write the end of my chapter. God knows that. And I'm not going to worry about it. Until then, I'm going to enjoy life. Amen? Even in this cold spell that we're under. But thank you for being here today. Thank you for allowing me to speak tonight. And we're going to close with a word of prayer. Again, pray for the ones that might be out in this stuff working in the cold. Pray for the ones that are traveling in the cold. Jeff and Trish on their way home. Pray for yourselves that are here. The victors, they got a long ride home. Pray for them that God give them safety. We need those things. The car may not break down. And if it does break down, someone comes along and helps them out. So pray for us, each other. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you this evening for allowing us to hear your word again. God, I thank you for, through a friend of mine, showing me my responsibility. Lord, I've never seen it quite like that before. I've heard of many other messages, but I've never heard something like that. And so, God, I thank you for showing me my responsibility as a husband. God, I pray tonight that you would continue to watch over Jeff and Teresa as they continue to travel. Give them clear roads, keep the vehicle running, keep them warm. Pray for the victors that they're on their way home tonight. Give them safety, give them warmth as well. Be with the rest of us as we just go a short distance. We pray that you just guide our cars right back into our driveways tonight and into our warm homes. God, we pray for our pastor tonight. We thank you for his safety that you have given him to Florida. Again, we pray for a time of rest, relaxation, and great fellowship to come in these next few days. And God, I thank you for the one that you've allowed us to partake in this morning and watching her go through the steps of baptism. God, I pray that you just watch over her, continue to work in her life, and guide her. And we ask you these things, Lord, in your name. Amen.